But how fucked up is it? I mean, why does every team seem to get incredibly injured when they play the Falcons?
Bounty boys.
And they're starting offensive linemen that had played every snap.
Right. I was about to say, the guy that played every single snap got hurt against the Falcons. Coincidence, I'm sure. Where's Damon? I'm supposed to tell him to fuck off at least once tonight.
He can't.
He ditched us.
He fucked off.
Oh, well, yeah. There you go. I win.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk scale rating is, it's a light one. I'm testing out a few Christmas-themed beers this week. I have the St. Arnold Christmas Ale. It's actually pretty good. Number might escalate to a 2 before the end of the show.
It'd be a lot cooler if it did.
Speaking of 2, 2 digits, right? That's how many digits the Saints won by. And even though that was the case, Saints fans didn't quite feel like the team played with the level of dominance that was expected against the likes of the Jets. That being said, in a week where all the other playoff-bound teams won, we do celebrate the fact that we did win alongside them, preventing the Panthers from slipping past the Saints for the lead in the NFC South. We have the game to recap, your tweets to look at, see why, pick'ems to pick, and the preview of the biggest game of the regular season, the rematch, the showdown, the revenge game, the big fuck the Falcons, coming up on Christmas Eve. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'm probably at a 1. I was kind of sipping on a cocktail for a while, and then I snuck in a glass. Well, I didn't sneak it in, but mixed in a glass of wine when I ate, and now back to the cocktail. So I'll go with a 1.
Yeah, you're not Damon. You don't have to sneak your alcohol in front of
you. Right. I had to drive to Austin to get it first.
And then because Damon can't be with us today because he's gone for a second viewing of the Star Wars, The Last Jedi, we did find it fitting to bring on for Fuck the Falcons week, Mr. Fuck the Falcons himself. Mike, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I promised I wouldn't be a 1, so I'm a solid 3.5.
Hey, all right.
Very nice.
And again, for those of you who don't know who Fuck the Falcons is, just go to @FuckTheFalcons on Twitter. Follow him. It's quite entertaining as he trolls not only Falcons, but everyone he doesn't like or disagrees with.
Including myself.
Right. He does. He's pretty fair and balanced when it comes to objective pointing out the irony in situations. All right. Let's get into the game recap.
Call this Section 648 recap since we were all in Section 648.
That's right. All three of us were sitting in the same section for the game, which clearly led to the win.
Clearly.
But we are undefeated when you come, Jeff.
That's what she said.
That's awful.
Classic Jeff.
All right, at least we could afford to joke like this. I mean, considering most of the game was a little more stressful than we would have liked.
We said that walking out, like, it kind of, like, for a game that we never didn't have the lead, right? We were in the lead the whole time from the beginning. I was never really comfortable until like the last 4 minutes or 6 minutes.
I was walking out the game, and me and Garrett were talking, and I told him, like, it never felt like the Saints were going to lose this game, but it never felt like the Jets could win it either.
Yeah, I still, as bad as we played, it's like the defense kept them in the game. And just like, you know, Bryce Petty isn't going to beat us, right?
Right.
Like, right. And the one time I felt like the Jets had a chance, Michael Thomas was like, hold on, I got this. And just became Michael Thomas. You cannot guard Mike.
Well, no, I mean... Thank God for him.
See, I'm. Help me see that because, I mean, maybe it was because I spent half of the second quarter and half of the third quarter in the concourse chasing food for the family. But, in every game, I don't see Michael Thomas I don't visually see him getting the separation and getting the catches. And then, yeah, you do look at the stat
sheet at the end. He didn't have to get the separation. Just throw the ball his way.
I guess
you're right.
I guess that's it. I mean, because, yeah, the stat sheet comes back and it shows, like, wow, he had a monster game. I don't remember him catching the ball.
Did he have nine catches or something? For 90
nine catches, 90-something yards, one touchdown, and he had two others.
So he had two touchdowns.
Yeah, sure. You're right. He really had. Yeah, I mean, that other one was close, but, I mean, shit, it's...
That one in our end zone was a touchdown. I didn't see the other one because I, too, was chasing food, but not for the family, yeah. Because I'm fat.
By chasing food, do you mean chasing Jameson?
No, I was actually trying to get nachos, but it was cash only. You know, the good nachos, it was cash only.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Apparently he had a touchdown then, but then I guess Mark Ingram scored on the next play.
Greenbaum did mention, I talked to him today, and he was saying, like, he was watching on TV. Even the Ingram run that in the first quarter, like second play of the game or something like that. Remember when they said he
it was a screen pass.
Yeah, of course it was. When he
classic, yeah.
When they said he stepped out of bounds. I don't think anything they showed in the dome was indisputable enough to overturn it. So
he was definitely in bounds, but they blew the whistle. You can't review it.
Yeah, you couldn't review it.
Is that what it was? Okay. Never mind then. Okay.
Sean Payton said that today. They blew the whistle. You can't review it. He was gonna.
Gotcha. Okay. So, but right, they scored anyway. You know, we look at this game and we say, wow, we, like you said, Mike, like, we didn't have that level of confidence and whatnot. And I think it has less to do with what I originally thought, which was, boy, the Saints offense sputters and I'm worried about the playoffs because you're doing this against the Jets, and even if you get through the regular season, that first playoff game, if your offense can't get it going, like, it seems like it's a sputtering offense.
I want to agree with you because you're right. But at the same time, like, how many weeks in a row have we said this offense sucks, but they keep outscoring the other team?
Right. And that's what I came to after sleeping on it. I kind of landed on it. Wait a minute. First of all, we're like the top five offense in the league. How can you say we're sputtering?
Number two, but yeah.
Right. So then the other thing is, A, with the Jets game in particular, if Coleman doesn't fumble twice in the red zone, that's between 6 and 14 more points added to our
score. And if the Michael Thomas touchdown was reviewed, because that turned into a field goal, that's four more points.
Four more points, right. So we do blow the Jets out. We didn't have a problem with the offense. We had a problem with Coleman holding on to the ball.
And I know everybody wants to beat up Coleman, and I know nobody likes Coleman, but I read today that this is the first game he's ever fumbled in, and he had two.
Yeah, his first fumble ever. Well, not that he's had a
ton
of...
That's because he stood to make more money if the spread is not covered.
I don't care about the spread. They won.
Well, he cares. He probably made a lot of money that way.
I don't care about that.
You see what I did there? I'm going conspiracy theory on you.
You're going stupid on us.
That he's on the take.
Right. And wait, 6 minutes in, Jeff's going stupid.
Yeah, right.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Long this week.
I'll get off that point then.
But, I mean, look, as bad as games as they played, they still scored 31 points.
The fumbles are part of the game, but you take away the fumbles and the game's not even close because both of them were on very good drives.
Right. And add to that you didn't get any pressure on Petty. You got your first sack came in the fourth quarter when it almost didn't matter. But, again, why are you going to – like, blitz package, fucking Petty, Tom Petty, whatever his name is, Grace Petty, Kyle Petty. Why are you going to blitz him?
You forgot Richard if you're naming him.
Richard, yeah. There's a... Dude, think about it. You don't need to pressure him in order to beat him. You just have to play football. Play the most vanilla basic defense. You're going to beat him. Play a nice vanilla offense and beat the Jets nice and soundly. It's not, you know, as fans, we wanted to go scorched earth. We wanted to fucking annihilate everybody after that Thursday night game. But Sean Payton let cooler heads prevail and said, let's not give Atlanta any film to watch. At least the only film they're going to have is from when we played them, you know. But let's not give them anything from the.
Yeah, and how productive is that film? Because they didn't have Kamara the whole game.
Really. Right?
What do you play? Four plays?
So now they've got 3 week old footage to use. I see it more as the Saints didn't. And they weren't going to try anything fancy to risk getting hurt. They just came out here. We know it. We're just going to do enough to win this game, and let's focus on the Falcons. Because at the end of the day, it's just the Jets.
And maybe I'm stupid, but this never felt like a trap game until walking out of the Superdome. The Saints found a way to win a trap game. In my head, I never thought it was a trap game until we left.
You know, the Dome seemed a little subdued. I think the fans, too, were kind of just, it's the Jets. You know, we're 15, 16-point favorites, whatever it is. You know, the rain, I think, kept some people away. you know, a lot of empty seats in Damon's level of the dome.
Ours too. I mean, we had a whole row open. I kept trying to like motion to Jeff to come sit by us, but I guess, you know, it never worked out.
He's like, I've seen that mic at a game, and I'll stand right where I'm at.
Right? Yeah. Mike got to a seat an hour and a half early. We're good over here. We have the games.
Yeah, right. If you notice, like Jeff and his family sat down, we had to go up and stand and sit and talk to them before the game. They weren't about to come down.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah. They went straight to their seats. Like,
I didn't realize y'all were that far over to the left either. When y'all actually went to your seats, I'm like, where the fuck did they go? Because I tried yelling several times. This play right here. I think y'all only.
I heard you
once.
Yeah, I heard you say this play right here. What's funny to me about that is, like, obviously you can't hear us because I was talking to Garrett. But on the second play of the game, I did 64-yard touchdown right here, 64-yard touchdown. And I'll be damned if Frank Ingram doesn't go 64 goddamn yards and really scores a touchdown. Now, they took it away, and it was a 55-yard pass play. But like, Garrett looked at me like, is it going to be that game? I'm like, yeah. I don't know.
But it was, right? It was.
And then, of course, the guy behind us is pissed off the entire game about everything. I hate that.
I'm hoping you heard some of that guy, Jeff.
No,
I mean, you
never heard of him. Never heard him.
It's worth coming sit next to me just to listen to that guy.
Like, yeah.
He is so mad about everything.
Well,
Sean Payton calls a timeout on defense. Ah, what the fuck? What a wasted timeout. And I'm like, really? Really? Because if we get the ball back, you only kick a field goal. I don't know. I just, that guy, like, everything, no matter what the Saints do, that guy hates. Yeah. He is the Indians fan from Major League.
You rotten bums! You overpaid weenies! Vile thing! You make my butt sting! I detest you! You're all garbage! All of you! Back up the truck! Back it up!
Hey, I told ya. Bring out the tarp. Cover the field. I can't watch this anymore. It's over. Turn the lights out. Let's get the bulldozers in here and turn this place into a parking lot.
I want to turn his hat inside out so bad.
All right, speaking of that, though, was it me or did the crowd kind of boo a couple of times on some of the play calls in the third
They definitely quarter? Did whenever they went three and out, like two series in a row or four and out, whatever it was, five and out. I don't know. When the Saints just couldn't move the ball in either the second or the third quarter, it was definitely some boo.
I mean, that's hardcore, right? I mean, the fans.
I mean, they're the Jets, and they're favored by 16. Everybody who's especially a new Saints fan expects a blowout. But like we said before the game, I mean, it's the typical Saints. It's a quarterback they never face. They're expected to win. It's kind of a trap game. Like, that's the game the Saints blow.
Well, how good is the Jets defense?
2011?
Yeah.
They played hard, man. You know, they were flying around. They were into the game.
Yeah. Like, it really feels like the Jets are, like, playing for their coach to not get fired. They suck, but they don't want their coach fired. They're the opposite of what the Buccaneers are right now.
Right. So then the result of the game, and all things considered, even Coleman's fumbles, now that you've had time to sleep on it, do you have any concerns about this team, what we have right now and what we will have 2 weeks from now, in the playoffs? Do you have any concerns about when you have to face the likes of either Carolina, Minnesota, Philadelphia?
I have tons of concern at wide receiver and us not being able to get open when we need to be. But at the same time, like I said earlier,
life finds a way.
Yeah, I mean, other than Michael Thomas, we really don't have any receiving threats. We don't have any tight ends.
I don't know what's going on with Willie Snead. Like, I give up trying to make excuses and finding a reason. I don't know what's going on there. I know a lot of people, looking at you, Garrett, I know you listen. I know a lot of people are done with Brandon Coleman, but that guy, he's been a big role this year. And, I mean, he's going to have to keep being a big role this year, especially if Willie Snead's going to keep being Willie Snead.
Yeah. And, I mean, look, we didn't have Ginn this game either, so that's a weapon we didn't have.
And I was really surprised of the small role Tommy Lee Lewis played without having Ginn. I really thought he was going to play the Ginn role, and he just did not.
Yeah.
Is there any thought on that as to why he didn't?
No, I have no idea. I mean, I'm just an idiot fan on that one. I have no clue.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you feel like, too, that the Jets, I mean, they keyed in on Kamara. I mean, there was at least one run that I remember in particular where this is maybe one of those three and outs where it was either a screen pass or a little, you know, sweep play or something where everybody knew Kamara was getting that ball. And it was like eight Jets on him before he even got the ball, pretty much. I mean, what I worry about is these teams, especially going into the I'm looking ahead to the playoffs. All you got to do is get Kamara. You stop Kamara, you stop our offense.
I guess I guess what I don't worry about with this team moving forward is, like the Jets, I mean, they put 8 men in the box almost every single play, 8 or 9 in the box every play, and they said they're going to stop the run, which on paper sounds good, but now you're saying Drew Brees has to beat us, and I'm going to take my chances every time.
Well, I agree, except for the fact that Drew Brees has to have open receivers, and we've already said week after week after week he doesn't have them.
I agree, but still, if you're saying Drew Brees has to beat us, I'm going to take my chances on Drew Brees. He's going to find a way to make Brandon Coleman open. He's going to find a way to find Michael Thomas 9 times for 93 yards. He's going to find a way to find Kamara. He's going to find a way to find Josh Hill, of all people. Somebody Drew Brees is going to find when he has to.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it might not happen every series. We might not put up 55 points a game anymore. We're not that team anymore. But they're going to find a way to win the game when they have to. Like, they're going to keep running with Ingram, keep running with Kamara, and then Drew Brees is going to do what Drew Brees does.
That's a good point. I mean, you are right. Like, if you take Kamara or you take our Ingram out of the game and you say, okay, we're going to make Drew Brees beat you, it's much better than saying, like, you know, we're going to make Heath Shuler beat you.
Right, because the only way that they're going to, you know, and I'm putting air quotes here, the only way they're going to make Drew Brees beat him is by putting 8 or 9 people in the box, which means now you're single covering Michael Thomas and you're single covering...
Yeah.
Willie Snead's still got it in him. I don't know what's going on, but he's still got it in him. And if he's going to play the slot, he's going to eventually find his little groove and it's going
to
work. Or
agree to disagree
or Michael
on that.
Thomas is going to catch 9 times for 93 yards. You know, it's, and then, you know, just keep running, keep running. And trying to run the clock out yesterday, Mark Ingram accidentally had a 50-yard touchdown run.
You know what? We'll see. I know Warford looks like got concussed. I mean, that looked pretty bad on the pick play. So he looked bad enough. Like, I don't think he's going to play this week. Hopefully we get Pete back. But what has me a little worried is that since Okafor has gone down, our pass rush hasn't been as good. And
that concerns me too, because I don't know what's going on with Kakaha.
He's
not Okafor.
He's a situational pass rusher, but on the one series where they put him in at actual linebacker, and had him play linebacker, and that was that series where the Jets just ran all over us. Because he's strictly a pass rusher, that's it.
Yeah,
we didn't have Klein.
Before he got hurt, though?
Yep.
I thought he was going to be like the player that actually made Cam Jordan not be like the rock of our defense, but then he got hurt, and now he's come back, and he's average at best. At best, he's average.
I mean, look, he's had, what, 3 ACL injuries? I mean,
he had two, and then he had that lingering groin, I think.
Maybe he tore his ACL last year in training camp.
You look hot up here, up here, up here. Whoop, whoop, ha, ha, go, go, go. Hey, yo, guys.
You know, because he did have, like, a couple of games early in the season. Now, he might have been getting, I don't know, like 9 or 10 snaps a game, but he had a couple sacks. You know, I think the injuries just take a toll, and you don't have Hendrickson. They moved Rankins out there, and I mean, look, I love Rankins, but he's not built to be a defensive end, I don't think.
Right.
So I don't know where they're going to find the opposite side pass rush. I mean, maybe they get Muhammad involved, but I mean, he's just a rookie, so you know, you can't. It's going to be hard. It's almost like they're going to have to manufacture a pass rush with Blitzen. Seems like.
Right, and I'm really not a giant fan of that. I mean, I don't hate it because our corners are, I can't believe I'm saying this out loud, our corners are good enough to play man coverage, but I don't like the idea of just blitzing, just the manufacture of pressure. But, I mean, we're going to have to do something against Atlanta.
Yeah, because you're not going to be able to let them sit back and pick them off, because just as good as our secondary is, you can't give them that much time. Yeah, and it sucks not having, you know, like not having Klein and being out. I mean, you really almost forget fucking Anzalone. Like, at least we had a fast linebacker on the outside. You know,
that
cover.
Not even just fast, he was smart. That's what we've been missing since Jonathan Vilma was a smart linebacker.
Yeah, because, I mean, I saw a lot of times, like, I mean, I like Craig Robertson, but so many times he got caught on the inside, and they blocked him, and the runner just goes to the outside, and boom, there he goes.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah.
A very good game. I will say, though, and again, looking at you, Garrett, I know you listen. Vaccaro played an excellent game this week. I know that he had that one touchdown that looks like he didn't play very well, but, you know, they got away with the pick on it, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But I feel like every time a player got tackled for the Jets, it was Vaccaro on the tackle, Vaccaro on the tackle. Like, that guy was everywhere Sunday.
Yeah, and I mean, I thought, like, one of those interference calls he got, I thought was pretty bullshit. Now, I'm seeing it from up in the stands, and it seemed like There were a lot of plays that I wanted to see a replay on, and for some reason, the Dome didn't show them.
They better
show
them.
This has been the worst year in the history of the Dome for reviews. They don't ever show a single thing. Remember the one review you was watching it, Jason, and you commented on it. Maybe it was the Michael Thomas touchdown or the Mike Ingram out of bounds screen passes, and they show him cut off at the knees.
Hmm.
And you're like, yeah, oh, great replay.
Yeah, right. It's like, okay, we can see where his feet are, right?
Right, right.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, why even show it if you're going to show it?
Right, it's so stupid.
We're trying to see if he went out of bounds, not what his hair looks like.
Right.
All right, anything left on the game before we get into the Twitter section of the show?
Just that I'm really not worried about the team. I mean, Peyton's back to being a great coach. I don't know. But...
Wait, say it again, because whatever you just said, because they broke up.
I don't remember what I said. I told you I was a 3.5. And I
was Damn it. That is going to bring us into Look at Him Tweets. The old Look at Him Tweets, in case for all you Star Wars fans who know it, that was the Cantina band from episodes 4 and 5, or 4.
You might remember them from episode 4.
Right.
There was no band in episode 5. Classic.
Sorry, I'm not as big a Star Wars nerd as you are, Jason.
I am wearing my Star Wars pajamas right now.
I saw all the Star Wars literally this year. I mean, really, that was last year. I watched them all. It took me like a month. I watched every Star Wars last year.
Oh, yeah. So, anyway, the new movie, there's a new casino scene, which is the equivalent, like, you know, it's the 2018 version of the Cantina scene, I guess you can call it, with the updated song. And
oh, did you say the Silver Slipper Casino?
No, the Ruby Slipper restaurant,
where we had breakfast before the game. All right, so the first group of tweets, we're not going to read anything specific, but after last week's show, where we did kind of pick on the UK Saints podcast for spelling defense with a C instead of an S.
There was a
big Twitter.
Hey, I was listening to the podcast, as I do, because I'm an avid listener. But I was listening to the podcast on Wednesday driving to work, and as a hockey fan, I it didn't even dawn on me. Like, why are they making fun of those guys for spelling it with a C? I guess because, you know, as a hockey fan, I read a lot of Canadian tweets, and they all spell it with a C, too.
Hey, buddy.
It almost makes me feel stupid for spelling it with an S.
I mean, you know, they did tweet out a screenshot of a, you know, dictionary.com type defense with a C.
Yeah, but that's the old English dictionary.
I was about to say, what is that, an Oxford English?
This is America.
I'm not allowed to stand up for myself? I thought this was America. Huh? Isn't this America? I'm sorry, I thought this was America.
Is that where English started or something?
Yeah, they named a country after a language.
But it was a fun little repartee between the two, and
it was all fun. I kind of like the Damon of their show. Like, he tends to curse and get angry.
You saying their show's better when he's not there?
Oh, I see what he did there.
I see what you did there, but I haven't heard a show without him, so I wouldn't know. Yes, I see what you did.
Just kidding, Damon. Just kidding.
I think what we really—it's okay. Damon doesn't listen to our show.
Well, he did prove that last week, didn't he?
Right.
No, I do think what we ought to do, I had an idea today, we should do some sort of like a crossover show. Like, I know, Jason, you've been on the UK Saints podcast once or twice, and like, I will say, I mean, other than the Dome Patrol podcast, it's my favorite Saints podcast. We need to do, like I said, we need to do a crossover almost to where we record together and that be the episode for both of our shows. You know what I mean? Like, so like all there, it's one episode.
It's kind of like the CW crossover episodes when they do the Flash and Arrow. And
I guess so.
Yeah, you don't want to. Okay.
Or it all could those, be all like those... when WWF bought WCW.
Could have an invasion storyline. You have to do something in the off season when we could just do it on a Saturday.
You have to do it at 9 a.m. on a Sunday, like whenever the Saints go to London.
All right, next tweet comes from Jay Caro saying, run, screen, punt. Has Sean Payton run out of ideas?
Absolutely not. I think that's just... that's just like watching one game in a vacuum. That's ridiculous. No. I think Sean Payton's had his best season as a play caller in the last 5 this year.
Hmm. Kind of to the earlier point I was trying to make where, you know, run, screen, punt. That is exactly what we want the Falcons to walk away with. They're like, oh, so the Saints pretty much are a run, screen, punt team. That's what we're going to prepare our defense for. And then, bam.
I can't disagree with that. I mean, I feel like Sean Payton's been focused on the Falcons since last Thursday night, and he just went out with the most generic, this is our game plan, this is what we do, game plan against the Jets he could think of. Because, I mean, nobody wants to say it out loud, but if you're going to lose a game, the game is the game to lose. Yeah. It's an AFC team. Nobody really gives a shit if you lose. It doesn't do anything for the seedings other than our record, which, you know, I mean, if we still beat the Falcons, who cares, you know?
And that ought to give you more confidence as you go forward, because with the most generic, basic, vanilla, predictable offense, you still beat the Jets by double.
I mean, again, that's just us assuming that they had that. For all we know,
no, that's what it was, Mike. That's what it was. Playing, but...
yeah, like they could have just come out and played lethargic and sloppy.
Nope, that's what it was. It was intentional.
I don't think that it was. I mean, I don't think it was intentional that they came out and played sloppy. But yeah. I don't think that they really game planned to play the Jets. Honestly, I really don't. To know what I think maybe I know about Sean Payton, he's been focused on Atlanta since last Thursday night.
Right. So if the whole team is focused on Atlanta, clearly you're going to come out and play sloppy.
Right, right. I just don't think it was intentional to play sloppy. It wasn't Coleman, listen, guys, when the Thursday meetings are like, listen, just go out there and be shitty. We're a better team, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, fuck it, guys.
But at the same time, like, I don't think that they, like, really focused on beating the Jets. Like, the meetings might have been like, listen, they're 4 and whatever the fuck they are. I don't even know their record, but they're 4 and whatever. Let's just go play them. We're better.
Well, think about it. All right, you go up 10-0 in the first quarter, all right? And then the Jets, you know, they get their 10 in the second quarter, so you got to at least – it was almost like, yeah, as long as we had the lead, we take our foot off the gas pedal. If they start to get a little bit, we apply a little bit of pressure. We only did it – we did just enough to win, and that was the game plan.
Yeah, yeah. Don't show nothing you don't have to show.
No, that was it. It was – you know what? We don't know what the Jets are going to do here, but we do know that whatever they do, we'll answer it, and they did. All right, Vincent Burke, Big Easy Gajon, says, episode title suggestion, that's Lattimore like it.
Did get that nice padded stat pick at the end.
Yep. He had 2 in the game, though, right?
No, just
classic,
one.
Yeah.
How are you there and don't know that?
Oh, right. I already told you,
I spent half the game in the concourse chasing popcorn.
I talked to you literally before the game,
corn dogs,
at halftime, and after the game. I know you were there. How do you not know that?
Because he might have had one while I was in the concourse. Or the 18 times I went to the bathroom because I can't drink a beer without taking 3 pisses.
That's why they gave you 2 before the game.
Right.
Yeah, credit to the lady outside in the beer booth outside 648 for recognizing the Dome Patrol podcast and giving me a free beer because we're on the show. She's an avid.
I think that's fake news.
That segment is reserved for the offseason. All right, Mordecai says, do you think we're lacking playmakers at the wide receiver position this year? We've covered that. Feels like we're going to be screwed when we come up against a team in the playoffs who's going to double cover Michael Thomas when we need to pass.
We still have Drew Brees as our quarterback. I don't care what they do to Michael Thomas. You double Michael Thomas and you're not playing with 8 men in the box. Hit Kamara on a wheel route. Kamara is what Sean Payton wanted Cadet when he was running on wheel routes. And Kamara can do what he thought that Kyrie could do.
Well, the rest of the tweets I'm going to forego because, Ben Wright and Kamara Chronicles. We're going to – only because your tweets are a little too forward-looking. They're all about free agency and the offseason, and we're not finished with this season yet. We still have the playoffs to go through. Ask again when we get there.
It's almost as bad as people doing mock drafts right now.
Well, and that it's going to happen, and I get it. Like, Ben Wright, it's a question about wide receivers and tight ends, and clearly those are needs that we need to address in the offseason. But let's finish the season before we start.
We got a Super Bowl to win first.
That's right. Don't get caught looking ahead. That being said, that is the end of Look at Him Tweets. So now we're going to do a quick, because we're getting close to the playoffs, NFL reach around.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
One thing we can talk about is the Pittsburgh-New England game last night where, what was it, the touchdown that was called reversed? What's a catch anymore in the NFL? How do you define a catch? How do you know what a catch is? I mean, I get my theory on that one is, I mean, first of all, he didn't get his feet down in order to establish
it. But he caught it on his knees.
Right, he caught it. the whole issue with the catch is he caught it and then made a football move. Like, he caught it.
To be fair, in the NFL's defense, which you're never going to hear me say, the NFL removed the phrase "a football move" from a catch last year.
Ah, okay. So basically, the Lance Moore catch would be incomplete.
Probably. Super Bowl. Probably.
So what's a catch then?
The new word, which, you know, everybody understands a football move. So the new word now is control. Did he have control?
He did, and as far as I'm concerned. He got over the line.
If I'm being honest, I didn't watch the game. So everything I've seen, I've read and seen pictures of. And it looks like he had control. It went over. But then after he was past the plane of the goal line, he kind of bobbled it and then
it hit the ground. Yeah. It's all about finishing the catch and not losing control when the ball hits the ground.
The NFL has also stated now that the plane doesn't matter when you're making a catch. So if it wasn't a catch at the 25, it wouldn't be a catch at the goal line.
Right. It's different as if a running back just running.
That helps
explain that, but whatever happened to the ground can't cause the fumble.
Well, that's if you have possession beforehand.
You have to catch it through the ground.
Okay. Right. So the ground can break up a pass, which we've seen evidence of many times.
It can't
cause
a fumble, but it can break up a pass.
Yes. it's only so talented.
I mean, I read a pretty good article about this today, and I don't remember who wrote it, and I'm sorry that I can't remember it. But it basically stated that the NFL's gotten too technical for its own good, and that's what's hurting. It's like, what just happened to knowing what's a catch? You know, like, and Christian Garrick said this earlier, and I can't believe I was listening to WWL long enough to know that Christian Garrick said this, but the NFL has gotten away from the spirit of the rule. They use replay to determine the rules instead of reviewing the rules. Like, everybody to the eye saw that was a catch. But instead, you know, they go to the review and just let the review, you know, just sort it out. Basically the same thing as the Mark Ingram touchdown.
But there's a reason for that.
Or in his mind, assume he's out of bounds, let it be a touchdown, then go back and review it instead of blowing the whistle if that's the way they're going to do it.
But, all right, and let it be a touchdown and then review it, fine. But the same thing with here. Like you said, everybody to the eye says it was a catch. But when you do look at the tape, let's say they gave him a touchdown, and all the New England fans and all that side is going to go back tomorrow, tonight, the next day, whatever, look at the film, slow it down, and then realize and say, we were fucking robbed because
catch. They can five Super Bowls.
But insert team here. Like, the whole point to Mike saying is, like, now we're using it to define the rule.
And right. Go
I
back
could
to
see
the
why
the
pendulum.
Right.
But the pendulum swung that way because you look at the history, the biggest debates in sports are, we would have won that game had it not been for that call, which was wrong. And if we had the instant replay, we would have gotten it right. So here
you know what it goes back to me. You remember when Megatron caught that ball a couple years ago, and he caught it like above the defender, and he still had the ball in his hand, and he turned around and spiked it, and they called it no catch.
Yeah, like he had it, like he had it. It was like a one-handed grab, and then he brought it down, right, and he like pushed it off the ground. He still held onto it. But it, like, hit the ground and he held on to it. Yeah, that was the
right
start.
And then the Lions actually missed the playoffs because of that. But, yeah, that's what it all goes back to me. Like, they're just trying so hard to define a catch.
Right.
Which, insert here that Dez Bryant still didn't catch
just
it.
Just use a little you have to use a little common sense.
Well, yeah,
Like, go with the eye test first, then use replay to change it.
Well, that's what it's supposed to be, right?
It's kind of what they did.
Yeah, they called it a touchdown.
It just seems like they're going so far.
Not a touchdown.
Right. It just seems like they're, I don't know, they're going so far the other way.
But that's what technology gets you. That's what the better cameras get you. I mean, short of putting...
Except when you blow the whistle and you can't review it.
Right.
There you have that. All right. Rest of the NFL reach around. Let's talk about the playoff picture for the Saints and the rest of the NFC, I guess. Do you believe the Saints have a shot at a one or two? Well, not a one. At a number two seed?
No.
At a first round bye week?
No.
Even now the Rams have to go 0-2, and the Saints need to go 2-0 for that to happen?
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
The Rams have to go 0-2 or the Vikings?
Oh, yeah, I mean the Vikings, yeah.
But both? I mean, the Rams.
Yeah, I guess both of them at this point now, right?
Yeah. Yeah, both of them, because the Rams on the tiebreaker. So it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So you're looking at, really, because even the Rams are ahead of us, it's looking like we're going to be the four seed.
All right. So
then, I'm okay with the four seed. Just get the four
seed. Yeah, right. I don't care. Get a home
three,
play.
Right. Three or four doesn't matter, right? Get the home game. Is there a scenario where you rest all your players against Tampa Bay?
I would rather have the 4 seed, first off, if we're putting this out there. I'd rather have the 4 seed than the 3 seed. So, yes, it does matter.
Okay.
But I don't think you can't afford to rest them because, like, if Carolina wins next week, then Carolina could still beat Atlanta in week 17, and we lose to Tampa, Carolina wins the division.
No, so, they don't. If we lose to Atlanta, yeah.
Well, no. If we beat Atlanta and they win, we're still tied record-wise. So then if they beat Atlanta and we lose to Tampa, they would have a better record than us and they win the division. So we can't afford to rest anybody.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. I immediately went to the if all three of us end up with the same record.
Right.
That's the only way that head-to-head becomes the tiebreaker.
Yeah. Jeff, just one check real quick. You are still recording correctly?
Am I recording correctly? Yes, I am.
Yes. Okay, just checking. I want to.
Nope,
sure.
I'm recording wrongfully.
Classic Jeff.
Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
There is the Panthers issue with their owner got investigated for allegations, and now all of a sudden, within a day or two, he's going to sell the team.
Oh, yeah.
And if Pete Diddy gets a million retweets, he's going to own the team, I think.
Right.
What was it, sexual misconduct? Is that what it was?
Yeah, misconduct and a racial slur, apparently there have been, I think, 4 or 5 payoffs where they paid off an employee for shit going down with everything going on. And
yeah,
NFL.
They paid off the scout when he used a racial slur against the scout.
And everybody called him Mr.
He owns the team. Who doesn't call him Mr. Benson?
Right.
Well, they didn't say his last name. They just called him Mr.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, just Mr. It is interesting how quickly, it went from... Yeah, SI did a report on it. There were allegations that the team was looking into it, and SI published a report, and then 2 days later, he's going to sell.
Yeah, and then what happened? The NFL said today that even if he sells the team, they're still going to invest. I don't know what comes from that.
Right, what's going to come out?
They're not going to, find the team. We sold them.
Right.
Like, the new owner is not going to, buy a team that's missing 2 draft picks or whatever, but...
Well,
the NFL's discipline. Who knows? Maybe they do.
You're right. How dare me like assume that the NFL's gonna have some type of consistency with?
Should the NFL get involved? To the point that they're the team and say you can't have draft picks or you can't.
Have you seen the NFL? They do whatever the hell they want.
I'm not asking will they or should they in that regard. I'm saying if you are running the NFL, do you have the right, is it your position as the NFL to punish the team for its owner's actions?
Sell the team, then I feel like that just makes it all void.
Yeah.
Sell the team and make trillions of dollars when you do, and everything's fine.
Well, that's going to happen.
I see your point. I see where you're coming from, but at the same time, if it's misconduct and he basically is forced to sell the team, you can't punish the new owner for it. You've already taken every proactive step in removing the problem.
But if he did this, why punish the team, its fan base, and the players? Why not just punish him?
He's a billionaire. What are you going to fine him that he's going to care?
And that's why he acts the way he acts. Am I right? He has the same thought too. I'm a billionaire. What are you going to do? I could see the NFL saying, we don't want you involved in our league, Mr. Richardson.
And he won't be.
So either sell the team to someone else because we don't want Mr. Richardson involved, or the Panthers are out and we'll find another team. I don't know. What are your options at that point as the league?
If they're not going to make him sell him, they're going to, punish him with – they'll be missing a couple draft picks. He'll get a fine. I'm sure there'll be, some type of –
But the key is it's not a Panthers
–
But
there'll be, classes you'll have to take or something like that.
But do you see my point, though? You're a league where teams are a member of, and you're paying a membership fee to be a member of that league, and the league has certain rules that you have to abide by. Fine. So the guy is the problem, not the team. So
you're right, but it all falls under the shield. Is the team the problem whenever the guy for the Cowboys that was beating up his girlfriend in a hotel? I can't think of his name right now. But is the league the problem, or was the guy the problem?
The guy. So you punish the guy.
I guess I see your point. I guess I just classic Jeffed and argued against myself.
Classic Jeff.
Classic Jeff. You just got out Jeffed by Jeff. because it's an owner and because it's his actions and you're trying to punish him, but it's not fair to punish the team. Now, being a Saints fan, I want you to punish the Panthers. I think the Panthers should probably just not be eligible to play in the playoffs for the next 3 years.
Okay, that's not drastic. But right. Even if he's selling the team, you think he should still punish the team?
No, it's him that's the problem, not the team. But if he sells the team, he's getting away with it. Because he's about to make millions of dollars, and he's done. There's no accountability.
Yeah, now, you want to follow...
But the other people can follow...
Value. He's taking a team that he bought for $350 million and selling them for, I guess, what I heard was...
Whatever.
$1.5 billion.
Making a profit.
If he keeps them for 10 more years, that might be $2.5 billion.
Oh, no.
Like $1 billion isn't chump change.
All right, but he doesn't need it either. The other question is... Let's talk about not the money situation, but about the whole issue, about the whole sexual harassment, sexual misconduct, and all the allegations that are coming out related to the NFL, obviously spawned by...
Did you say
by,
harassment? Yeah, I don't want to talk about it if you said harassment.
He also spells defense with a C.
I'm practicing for the crossover show with a U.
That's right. Podcast.
No.
Okay, so, proceed.
Have you seen this? Have you heard about this? Where... it's like half of the guys from the NFL Network are now being accused of sexual misconduct while they were there. And some of them aren't there anymore. Warren Sapp, who's not on
Heath
anymore.
Evans, Marshall Heath Falk, Evans. And some of the shit they said was like, wow.
Ike Taylor. Yeah.
It was
Donovan McNabb.
Yeah. It was. And
did
it
you
was
see
a,
Warren Sapp's defense?
No. What was it?
He's definitely got CTE. He sent the woman like the lipstick looking vibrators and said he just thought they were cute. It wasn't about sex. He thought they were cute.
So at this point, like Marshall Faulk surprises. Warren Sapp does not surprise me at all. Donovan McNabb, eh.
Donovan McNabb didn't know a game could end in a tie. He's stupid.
But, I mean, all right, so, and this is not an excuse, and I'm not – please don't mistake this, but there's two points I think about this. What this kind of reveal, like after so many allegations now coming out, at the end of the day, I'm not surprised at all when any NFL player is going to be accused of sexual harassment or sexual misconduct. Because
I'm going to say any celebrity, but we can leave it at NFL.
Okay, yeah, let's just
a Saints podcast.
Yes, that's right. So. I used to get surprised, like, wow, Marshall Faulk. I was surprised that Marshall Faulk's name was involved in this. I wasn't that Warren Sapp. I expect this from Warren Sapp.
Well, I mean, you're only surprised because you think you might know Marshall Faulk. You have no idea what the fuck.
Right. And that's a fair point. Like, literally, you know nothing about Marshall Faulk.
Well, I know that he apparently has sexually harassed women.
Allegedly, that's ignorant.
Let's move into Pick'ems.
Not a good week for us in old Pick'ems last week.
Oh, I feel like I did pretty good.
Yeah.
I haven't sent in picks since week one.
I mean, there were some close calls, but I was the only one to win Kansas City. Both Damon and Jeff took the Chargers. Jeff was the only one to take the Rams, and they just fucking beat the shit out of Seattle, and that was fucking glorious. Did you see there was a video of all the fucking 12s leaving the stadium early, like across the street? Somebody had taken a video from somewhere across the street, and it's just all the fans leaving at halftime.
My friend Kyle Brown, he was at the game. He's a Seahawks fan. You know, I lived in Seattle for 8 years,
yeah.
Or whatever. My friend Kyle was at the game, and every year his family takes a Christmas game or a Christmas family trip or whatever and goes to the game. Like, 8 of them go to the game, whatever. And he sent me a Snapchat from, like, the beginning of the fourth quarter. And there might have been 26 Seahawks fans left there.
Wow.
At the start of the fourth quarter. It was bad. Like, even the Snapchat set up when you're getting your ass whipped 42-0 or whatever the score was.
Wow. Yeah, it's nice to see them get their fuck. Damon was the only one to take New England. And we both lost with Pittsburgh, even though Pittsburgh should have won that game. I was the only one to take San Francisco against the Titans.
How about that? San Francisco's gone 3 in a row.
Handsome Jimmy G. And then we all lost Arizona, which the spread was 4.5, and Washington won by 5.
Yeah, fuck them.
So I went 2-3, and you and Damon each went 1-4.
God.
Jeff still has the lead, 39-33. I'm 4 games back, 35-37. Damon is another 4 games back, 31-41.
While you figure that out, I will go on to the larger league and say I am still holding on to the win, even though Vincent Burke is right on my tail. I'm 39-33. Vincent Burke's in second place with a 36-32 record, so you are 3 games behind me. Then followed by Jim Bowl, home team with a 500 record. Then Jason, you're right there. You are very...
Yeah, but I've fallen off a little bit.
A little bit. You were once in second place. But you are sitting there with Who Dat Fitz. And then we have CJG, Life of Ty. Doug, who has climbed his way from the bottom of the ship to the top one-third of the league. Miso Mad, Ed Hunt, Triple D, Wheels, Davis, Douglas, Neil, Scott Waters, then Scott Greenbaum. Ooh, the battle between Jason and Greenbaum is starting to fade. Chris McGuire, Gerald Boutte, Hungry Who Dat, Near, and Damon. And then EJ Pasternot, Preston Allen, Emmanuel, Ryan Angier, Random Thoughts, Dr. Who Dat, Ryan Guidry, Who Dat Nutsack, Vetti 11, Saints Fan UK, Ben Wright, and Brandon Guidry. The last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys that I mentioned are pretty much out of it because they've missed too many weeks, but anyway.
All right. Not a great slate of games this week. I mean, really, the Saints and Falcons, probably the best game here, and we're not going to pick that.
That's right.
First one, the LA Rams coming off of shellacking, beating the Seahawks. Travel to Tennessee to play the Titans, who lost a field goal fest in San Francisco, 25-3. Tennessee, you know, was fighting for their playoff lives. They're sitting here at 8-6, not really out of it yet, but it's a tough matchup. The Rams look to be playing well.
They're about to be out of it.
This game's in Nashville, and the Titans are getting 6.5 at home.
Ooh. But the Rams did just, I mean, wipe the floor with the Seahawks, right?
They did.
Ooh.
I'm gonna go with the Rams. I don't think Tennessee's not... I was on them early in the season, but they're just not that good.
All right. You've convinced me. I'm going to go with the Rams, too. I was going to go just for the amount of points that Tennessee was getting.
Damn it, why didn't I let you go first?
I know, right?
If I'm making a pick, I'm taking the Titans at home. It's a trap game for the Rams.
All right.
Titans are winning.
10-4 Rams. They got to fight for this possible number 2 seed.
All right, our next game. Speaking of 10-4 teams, the 10-4 Jaguars.
Oh. What?
Yeah, Jags are 10-4.
How'd that happen?
The playoff clinched the Jaguars.
Yeah, first time since 2007. Didn't even have Fournette last week, I don't believe. They beat the Texans 45-7 last week. They travel to San Francisco to play handsome Jimmy G.
All right.
And the 49ers, who have won 3 games in a row.
It's time to end that winning streak.
This game is in Frisco, and they are getting 5 at home.
I will take the Jacksonville Jaguars. Hopefully this will be the first time that the Jaguars don't fuck me in pick'ems every time I pick them.
Yeah, Jacksonville.
Jimmy Garoppolo is the first quarterback since, I believe, Ben Roethlisberger when his first 5 starts in the NFL.
Oh, wait, oh, it's because you don't count the first 2 games with New England. Okay.
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, because he's only won 3
in a row with San Francisco. But yeah, I guess he's won 5 in a row as a starter.
Yeah.
His first 5. So yeah, San Francisco wins the game outright.
Wow. I'm going to go ahead and pick San Francisco. Why not? I'll ride handsome Jimmy G. Every time I pick Jacksonville, they fuck me. So I'm just not going to pick. And hope they
fuck
me.
When you hear Jimmy G, do you think Graham or Garoppolo?
Garoppolo.
I don't think of Jimmy Graham anymore. We never called him Jimmy G, right?
Yeah. I don't know. Where are you coming from?
No, but I mean, like, you know, like when you read it like on a national
right,
level.
Right. I see what you're saying. Maybe if you put handsome and do handsome Jimmy G.
I mean, like you and 7 people call him handsome Jimmy G, but yeah.
Alligator arms Jimmy G.
That's the one.
Graham, that's Graham, that's Graham.
All right, moving along. Our next game. Again, like I said, there weren't a lot here, so I don't know why I chose this one. A battle of former and current teams in the same city. The Indianapolis Colts coming off a loss to Denver on Thursday night. Woo. Travel to Baltimore to play a Ravens team who is on a roll. They are, I believe, at 8-6 right now.
Yeah, they are.
They've been playing well. Defense is playing well. They're at home, and they're favored by 13.5.
Oh, my God. I can't believe I'm going to do this, but I'm going to take Indianapolis on this.
Name six players that play for the Colts.
Andrew Luck.
That doesn't count. He's not playing.
That's all I got.
That's why I'll take the Ravens.
All right. I am going to go with the Ravens as well.
All right.
Our next game, again, not a great, sexy game when you look at it. Denver coming off a win against the Colts last week. They won two in a row after losing eight in a row. Travel to Washington to play the Redskins, who narrowly escaped win against the Cardinals this week.
Yeah, what's
this
game up is with that?
What's up with that? What's up with that? Movie. What's up with that? What's up with that?
How did Washington beat? I mean, you gave us the whole spiel about how the team quit practicing and everything.
Yeah.
And then they beat the fucking Cardinals.
Because the Cardinals had Blaine Gabbert at quarterback. I picked the Cardinals last week because I just think Washington, Washington found a way to win.
All right, well, now you got in front of – how is this not the shitty game of the week?
Oh, you'll see.
Who are the Browns playing?
Hold on. We still got this game to deal with.
All right, so you got Denver.
Right, Denver, travel to Washington. Washington's at home. There'll be about 10 fans there, and the Redskins are favored by 3.5. Mm. And I'm not sure who's quarterbacking for Denver. I think it's going to be Osweiler.
Yeah, Simeon got hurt, right? I don't think he's playing.
Yeah, he hurt his shoulder. Yeah, I think he's done, and Lynch was hurt. So, yeah, it's going to be the Brock show. I'm going to go with Denver.
I'm going to go with Washington.
Come on, Jameis. Let's eat this W.
Who are you taking, Mike?
Oh, me? I'm going to take Washington, only because they're at home. They both suck.
Okay.
All right, and now our shitty game of the week.
Here we go. No. Piece of shit car. I got a piece of shit car. That fucking pile of shit never gets me very far. My car's a big...
The Cleveland Browns.
Oh, weird.
Still winless.
Yep.
At 0-14. Travel to Chicago. Play the Bears, who lost last week to the Lions 20-10. So the Bears sitting there at 4-10. Cleveland still winless. It looks like Cleveland's... I don't think they're gonna get the Bears are favored by 6.5.
This is the game the Browns get to win.
I think Cleveland is going winless. Jeff?
I will also take the Bears. Cleveland's gonna find a way to Cleveland this.
They always do.
And that's your pick-ups there. Make sure you get them in before Sunday at noon Central Time. The reason why we have Fuck the Falcons on the show tonight, it is the Saints preview.
Fuck living, fuck dying, fuck laughing, fuck trying, fuck cursing, but mostly fuck you. Fuck love, hate, and friends, fuck following trends, fuck this song, can't wait till it ends. Fuck everything, but fuck you the most. Fuck everyone, but fuck you the most. With a big rusty pole or a splintering post, yeah, fuck you the most, fuck you.
So it's officially Falcon Day.
Yeah, fuck that. Well, they barely beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
They barely beat a lot of teams this year, man. They barely beat the Bears in week one. They should have like two or three more.
They barely beat the Lions.
No, they didn't beat the Lions. They got given that win.
Yeah.
That was a touchdown.
How is this game gonna go?
Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you.
Fuck you!
Fuck you! I mean, do you think Atlanta themselves even know that they're pretty much fucked the minute their plane lands? I mean,
depends
I would
if anybody throws eggs at their bus.
Well, I'm gonna say I would imagine that even the people working at the hotel wherever they're staying are gonna do things like acts of sabotage. I would hope. I expect. I'll be disappointed if that doesn't happen.
I mean, there is a
even
lot.
Even as the most adamant Falcon hater I know, I always feel like the game's going to be a 3 to 6 point game. But I do not see it this week. I feel like the Saints are going to win this game by at least 10, 12 points. Like and it's not going to be that close. I feel like the Saints are just going to unleash on him. Like if Sean Payton can show his dick on the sideline, this would be the game he's ever.
I agree. I mean. And I think it's going to come more from the defense just slaughtering their offense than it will be our offense slaughtering their defense.
I agree. Like, I feel like every tackle is going to just be to, like, actually tackle a motherfucker. Like, I wish a motherfucker would get up.
Maybe yeah, we can turn some of the injury favors.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, I don't think they go out to, like, deliberately injure people, but I think that they hit with a purpose this week.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, and there's a lot of, I mean, look, that loss was so brutal, a lot of frustration. Both on the players and I think the fans are going to be. I know it's Christmas Eve, but it's early. The fans are going to be fired the fuck up for this game.
Yes, it will be the loudest game we've had all season for sure.
Yeah,
but the way that we lost 10 days ago, whatever it was ago, it's going to be loud. And it's going to be a good game. I feel it. This is the game that the Saints just beat the fuck out of them.
It's long overdue. I mean, so much frustration from that last game. It's all going to be let out. And again, the Jets game was muted due to the rain and due to nobody giving a shit about the Jets. So everybody's going to be fired up. Dome should be full. Dome should be rocking. And I think the players are going to come out juiced up and jacked up and ready to go. You know, they know how. I mean, this is the game.
Well, it's not even about revenge. It's about protecting your NFC South. It's protecting your playoff spot. It's protecting your.
It's winning the fucking
home game.
Yeah, if we lose this game, we could actually not win the division.
Right. This game means
if we all end up with the same record, Atlanta wins the division. And fuck that. I just threw up in my mouth saying it out loud.
You know, you got the big questions is, I mean, Warford, considering how dazed he looked, I have a hard time thinking that he's going to play.
He's
next
an
week.
Offensive lineman with 6 days rest. He plays.
All right. Now, what about Andres Pete? Now, he dressed out, but he was only an emergency lineman this week. I got to think he plays next week.
Oh, for sure. He plays. I don't think he touched the field, did he? He was just emergency, and I don't think
he played. I think he played like 2 or 3 snaps, like maybe on a kick or so. He played a couple of snaps, not more than.
You know, that's another contributor to the whole conversation about why the offense was what it was this week. Just saying.
But, I mean, our offensive line, we've been shuffling our offensive line all year. Haven't been completely healthy.
Yeah, we've had 7 really good offensive linemen this year.
Does A.J. Klein play this week, or is his injury a little worse? Because Hendrickson, it sounded like, was going to miss a few
weeks. We'll find out on Wednesday or Thursday, I guess.
I mean, we really need him.
And then we'll find out more tomorrow if Klein practices tomorrow, too.
Yeah, I mean,
if it's at least limited tomorrow, I think he plays Sunday.
Okay, I mean, I really hope to God he goes. She said you don't want to rush him back to have him be re-injured, but if they lose this game, I mean,
there's no point, right?
Right. Right, I agree. Like, if he can play this week, play him for as many downs he can play, and then don't play him next week, if that's the case.
Well, yeah. Because
if we
yeah.
win this week, it's basically that's the end. The race is over.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, they have to win.
So, any other things you want to say about Atlanta or the Falcons? Just
they suck. It's a shitty city. Their airport fucking lost power last night.
Why?
Because it's fucking Atlanta.
You can't buy liquor on game day until the game starts. Fuck them.
What?
Really?
You can't even blow up a stadium. Like, how in the fuck are you the shittiest franchise that's ever existed? You can't even blow up your stadium. You've been imploding inside that motherfucker for 40 years. You can't even blow it up from the outside.
Nope.
It was just a tent. That's easy.
It was a tent, right? Just start a fire somewhere. It'll burn up in, like, tissue.
Only the Falcons would have to have a secondary stadium and podium.
No, that, the even their video or the pictures of their stadium imploding, the damn MARTA bus was parked in front of the damn picture. They didn't even get. They weren't
that's
even
the falconest thing that's ever.
They
happened.
Weren't even able to broadcast the poor implosion.
Right. Only in Atlanta can a bus block the failed attempt to blow up the shit stadium.
That's right, because failing to blow it up is just not good enough.
Yeah, that's not Falcons enough. That's Minnesota, where their stadium is like, nah, fam.
Right.
At least that was on video.
So
such a shit team in a shit city.
And then, Mike, you deal with a lot of Falcons fans on Twitter. Any back and forth yet? Starting up?
No, they've been pretty tame with me over the last couple seasons. I don't know why.
Because
the more shit they talk, the more embarrassed they get afterwards.
They've learned their lesson. All right, score predictions for the show, Jason.
34-17.
164-2.
God. I'm so stupid for not saying two.
Classic Jeff.
I'll say 24-10 Saints. I want to come out and just 50-10.
I feel like that's actually a reasonable score, 24-10, but one of those games where 24-10, it's nowhere near as close as the score makes it sound.
Yeah. It's something like I think if we come out what the fans want, and I'm sure the players want, and the revenge factor and everything else, then yeah, it's going to be like 45-10. And it's going to be a party.
It's going to be loud.
But I'm also a little realistic.
Yeah. Got it.
I can't wait. Like, I'm more excited about this than literally the next day, which is Christmas.
Right.
Well, this will be a perfect Christmas present. And
I mean, just don't ruin my fucking Christmas, Saints. Just beat the fuck out of them.
Ruin the Falcons' Christmas.
Oh, I'm so angry at
this. That's just an added bonus to the game, is that it's one thing to beat the Falcons. It's another thing to beat the Falcons and ruin their Christmas.
I mean, that'll be the best Christmas present I've gotten in a long time.
Can I retain your tie?
Get it? All right, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on your podcast app, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
Dadgum.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye. Fuck the Falcons, donkeys.
Fuck you, Morton Anderson.
Happy holidays, Who Dat Nation.
It's bad. You can't say Merry Christmas?
Merry Christmas, Who Dat Nation.